You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. This is The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston. And today we're in East Sussex, the town of Lewes. And I'm joined by Nikki Hamlin, the filmmaker, writer and cyclist. Nikki, where are we going to go riding today?
Well, we're going to head north out of Lewes and then turn off towards Plumpton, head along the north edge of the Downs, the South Downs, and then take a little lane called Underhill Lane, which leads us to the foot of Ditchling Beacon, which is a well-known, difficult local climb, which has been used actually in professional road races as well, but a lot of cyclists make a point of trying to get up there. And it's also the kind of climax of the London to Brighton bike ride, which is the place where people always grind to a halt because you get a lot of bikes suddenly, people in the wrong gear, and everything slows down in there. Most of them end up walking up there, especially in the last few years where more and more people have done that ride. So then we go up Ditchling Beacon, which hopefully won't take more than 2 or 3 minutes. Probably will actually take now. It'll be longer than that, especially for me. And then up the top there, you've got wonderful views, and then head down in towards Brighton and then turn off left. Now onto a cycle path and then back past the university, Sussex University, and back to Lewes.
Brilliant. Well, you've got a glimmering, shiny bike over here. Do you want to just talk me through what have you got?
Yeah, it's
a
this is my
beautiful yellow and black Colnago frame.
Yes, it's my brother's old frame. He gave it to me. He's traded in for a carbon fibre, which is an even lighter frame because he uses that for, he goes climbing up hills in the Alps every other year. So I've had it actually for a year now. It's been sitting in the house waiting for me to make it up, and I've just in the last few weeks put the brakes and other bits and
pieces.
So
what's it made of?
It's a titanium frame, and then I've also got titanium saddle and seat pin and lightweight handlebars, and it's got a carbon fibre fork, front fork. It's a wonderful frame, a wonderful ride. It's very comfortable, very responsive. The design is really quite traditional, which Colnago frames always have been, actually.
Is it Italian?
It's an Italian frame, yeah. It's one of the best and most well-known of the Italian frame builders. They do make a lovely frame, although I'm not sure whether they're still built in Italy. They may be built in somewhere like Korea now, but they're certainly still designed in Italy.
Well, I'm going to pick it up. Hand you the microphone.
Right.
Oh, like a feather. Absolutely.
It's wonderfully light.
Like a feather.
My other road bike is Reynolds 531 tubing, which is what Eddy Merckx used to ride on, the great Belgian rider who won the Tour de France 5 times. He used to ride on Reynolds 531. What was good enough for him is good enough for me, but it's true, this is a much nicer frame to ride on. It's a lot lighter. Yeah.
Well, let's hit the road.
Great.
Thank you.
shed in disgrace. Shines no light upon my face. Through the darkness we still see my white bicycle and me. My white bicycle and me. But I don't see it. The one thing I don't believe in. He'll find some charge, but it's not paving. My white bicycle. My white bicycle.
Another hardy soul out there. Well, this just in, we have 2 inches of snow in northwest Somerset, informed by text message. Still beautifully blue here. Just like Christmas was meant to be. Well, we're here on the Sussex equivalent of the Alpe d'Huez. Low gears engaged. See, Nicky's on a double chain ring, so he's got no granny wheel to winch him up at the end.
I haven't ridden up here for it's actually several years now, so but I've been riding up hills in Italy a bit. Hopefully I'll be okay.
Well, they say one of the reasons that Lance Armstrong is so invincible is that he studies the climbs absolutely meticulously in the off season. So he knows every bend, every change in gradient.
Yeah.
Every time he's going to change his gear, and he's got that mental edge on the people who don't know the road so well.
I think to actually make a thing of going out and doing it, I mean, what riders often do is if there's a time trial stage up a hill and they get there the day before, they'll ride up it on that day to get some idea of what they're aimed for, but Lance Armstrong's taken it a lot further than that. Made it into a science, really, but I think he's kind of cold-blooded, focusing on the Tour de France. It's in a way it's a shame because it doesn't have the romance of the and the unexpectedness of previous years, where suddenly someone will just shine in the mountains or take the odd stage like Robert Miller used to do, just kind of really come into their own on the mountains. Or Sean Kelly, who used to ride, instead of planning his whole season around the Tour de France, he'd ride a lot of classic races in the spring as well. So he was considered to be more of a sportsman in a way.
Let this car pass.
He was a great all-rounder. He is a big, heavy guy who was started off as a sprinter and realised that he wasn't going to get anywhere. If he wanted to really do well in the Tour de France, he'd have to become an all-rounder. So he changed his training schedule and became an all-rounder.
Oh, we're experiencing a lot of traffic here.
Yeah, much more than I expected.
This is Resonance FM, it's the bike show, coming to you from Ditchling Beacon in East Sussex, one of the great climbs of cycling in the south of England. Alright, so the view's starting to open up a bit. I'm sensing only a couple more turns. We've got some sky now, we're out of the woods. Sunshine. Beautiful. Sounds of four-wheel drive. Oh, a lot of cars up here. And here comes the bon rouleur himself, Nicky Hamlin.
That was very hard, very hard. First time I've ridden up there for several years, actually. I thought I was fit. I've done a lot of riding over the summer, but it's very difficult. It's always hard, I suppose it's as hard as you make it, really. When you see the horse warning sign, you know you're near the top. Your heart lifts.
Oh, it's worth it for the view, eh?
The view's fantastic, and as you can see, there are a lot of walkers out here. I mean, the view really makes it wonderful, a wonderful walk too. You can walk back to Lewes from here in about an hour, so it's a lovely walk. But I don't think I'll be doing any more climbs up here today anyway. But after that... And from here it's just a nice, easy ride down towards Brighton and then turning off onto what used to be a kind of rideable A27 Lewes bypass, Brighton bypass, which now is fairly unpleasant, and so we'll probably end up taking the cycle path, I suspect. Just in the last few years, the traffic has got so much heavier. The road's been rebuilt to accommodate the bypass extension. And the time trials, the evening 10-mile time trials, which used to be ridden on that course, have been abandoned now because it's too dangerous. So gradually, despite what the government wants us to do, is we're getting off bikes, getting into cars more and more, it seems.
Well, we've seen two cyclists coming towards us and one kind of gorilla mountain bicyclist at the bottom of the beacon, but not as many as I'd thought there would be.
No, I thought there'd be more, actually. But
they were probably all out at about 7 o'clock this morning.
It's very likely they were. I mean, a lot of serious cyclists do that, just ride early morning, and that's part of the habit of doing time trials, which are also always held early in the morning before the traffic.
Is the idea that you do it because your brain's not quite awake, so you can endure more pain before your brain is fully sort of booted up in the morning?
Well, it could be, I suppose. I mean, the reason time trials are held early in the morning is because when road racing was banned, group road racing was banned in about 1906, something like that, 1904, time trialing was adopted as a kind of clandestine alternative, and one of the reasons of keeping it out of the public eye and trying not to draw attention to it was by holding the races very early in the morning. So in the summer, the longer races will start at something like 6 o'clock or even earlier. And they were set off at one at a time at 1 minute intervals. And traditionally, they used to wear black tights and a black alpaca jacket. So it was a very clandestine, low key activity. And it's gradually dying out now because more and more people. It's become an old man's thing, really.
Time trialing.
Yeah, I mean, road racing is much more glamorous. It has a higher profile. You could become a professional. There are all those kind of career possibilities which don't exist in time trialing. It's a fringe sport, rather like improvised music, really. Free improvised music is a kind of cultural on the fringe of a culture, really. Specifically in England, it's not on the continent where road racing was never banned, but only in England, really.
Why was it banned here?
Just for safety reasons, really. The police decided it wasn't safe to have groups of cyclists riding on the roads, and so the only way to continue was to do this secret. And all the courses are given a code, which they still have, actually. So it's endured, and cycling is a very conservative sport, and so it still goes on. But I think the generation that's still doing it now, mostly, a lot of them are over 40, and probably it will die out more or less completely, except the time trial stages of big stage races like the Tour de France or the Giro d'Italia. Yeah. So I think that's part of the background of doing this early morning riding. But I think you're also right about the pain. But it's something that's kind of easier to contemplate in some ways than it is later on in the day when you've already done other things and you're starting to feel a bit tired. Yeah, so...
Right, a drink of water, I think.
Yep.
This is the bike show on Resonance 104.4 FM. You're riding with us along the top of Ditchling Beacon in East Sussex. On a broad sunny morning on Christmas Day. As we're coming down here off the downs towards Brighton, really picking up some speed, and I'm becoming very envious of what Nicky's wearing on his head, which seems to be some kind of a tight-fitting, windproof neoprene helmet sort of material under his actual bike helmet, because my ears are absolutely freezing. It's a balaclava. Oh, he's telling me it's a thermal balaclava
with the face cut out,
a few technical modifications to allow better breathing. I'm not sure whether we can hear a thing in this wind, but anyway. Nicky's been telling me that legally we are permitted to ride two abreast, but I think in doing so we risk incurring the wrath of angry Christmas car drivers going to Auntie Flo's for Christmas lunch, or wherever it is that they're going. Oh look, that's our first sighting of the sea, the English Channel up ahead. And Brighton over to our right, or what looks like the beginnings of Brighton. Real steady stream of cars coming past, quite irritating. That was an exceptionally steep hill,
yeah.
Not a fun, and I notice a speed camera at the bottom.
Yeah.
What do you reckon the chances of triggering that?
I don't know, I don't know how fast we were going.
I think the speed camera was for catching people above 40 miles an hour.
Right, I think we were probably under 40.
I think we were, but possibly if you put your mind to it.
Oh, you could easily do 40 down there, easily, yeah, if you pedalled hard, you could easily.
So that's a bit of a challenge, to get caught by a speed camera.
Definitely worth trying.
On a bike.
Yes, definitely worth trying.
I think we're going to come back and really give that a go. Perhaps not today. Well, we're entering the city limits of Brighton, and the notorious A27. No cyclists welcome on that, so we're going to have to find an alternative way around. And I'm going to put Nicky in charge. Take us safely back to Lewis. Okay, Nicky, what's the strategy here?
Well, we turn left now and go down the steep hill and then onto a cycle path back to Lewis, because the road's just too difficult, really. There's a lot of very fast traffic coming off the bypass. So really, a few years ago, I would have gone down here onto the bypass and back to Lewis along the main road, but so I don't think I'd want to do that anymore.
All right, let's hit the cycle path. We're back on the road, having left the bypass, coming up along way into Lewis from Brighton. Been coming up past the prison any minute along here, and then down the High Street. Well, fantastic ride, Nicky. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, well, it's very enjoyable, and thank you for asking me out, actually. It was a good opportunity for me to ride up Ditchling Beacon, which I was putting off, really, for till who knows when. But I'm glad I did it, so, yeah, it was enjoyable. A lot of traffic, though, much more than I anticipated. Even on the small lane, you know, along Plumpton, the Plumpton Road, it was still fairly busy. So, yeah, no, it was enjoyable. Lovely day for it. Perfect, really. Perfect weather. Yeah.
This is Resonance FM. You're listening to The Bike Show. And this is the sound of a hot bath being run for the soothing of cyclist limbs after a beautiful ride on Christmas Day morning across the South Downs up over Ditchling Beacon. Is full, and I'm going to lower myself in. Oh, that's hot! God damn! That is too hot. Exceptionally hot water. I'm gonna lower myself in. Oh, yes. Ah, the healing powers of hot water on the cyclist's limbs. This is too good. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. This is a very languid Jack Thurston on Christmas Day in a hot bath. This is The Bike Show, bringing you every conceivable aspect of cycling.